Good morning. And welcome on this absolutely beautiful Easter morning. At this time, I invite the congregation to please stand and pull your blue hymnals out, because our first hymn will be 179 after the acclamation. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Thank you. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hymn 180. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who for our redemption gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection delivered us from the power of our enemy, grant us so to die daily to sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and the other Gentiles. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who believes, who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message that he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses. And who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach, to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of the first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to the one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By grace toward me, he has not had been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite everyone to please stand as you are able and join in singing hymn number 208. We'll sing the first three verses prior to the reading of the gospel, verse 4 and 5 after. Hymn 208.
Mm-hmm. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who has been crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. On this wonderful Easter morning, I have a riddle for you. What is the difference between an historian and a theologian? Anyone have a guess? The answer is simple. A historian looks for Jesus of Nazareth in history and in the tomb in Jerusalem. The theologian seeks Jesus of Nazareth in the everyday life. Think about that for a moment. A historian looks for Jesus still in the tomb, and a theologian looks for Jesus in the everyday. Now I want you to ask yourself a question. If that were made into a spectrum, historian, theologian, where would you fall on that line? I don't think it's an unfair question to ask. And if we're being truly honest with ourselves, what we would probably say is a little bit more towards the historian side than the theologian side. And that's not to say anything in terms of being judgy. Because if we look at this morning's gospel passage, or better yet, any of the gospel passages from the four writers, what we find is most all of the disciples, actually all of the disciples. Even though Jesus spent countless hours telling them that he would be crucified and then rise back to life, weren't ready on Easter morning to find him anywhere but in the tomb. In Mark's gospel this morning, we hear the story of the women going to the tomb to grieve. In other accounts, they're going to continue preserving and preparing Jesus' body. Like you and me, they had a normal expectation that they would find the body of Jesus in the tomb. Now, before we begin to cast aspersions on the women, we have to ask ourselves this question. Where were the guys? They should have known better. According to John's gospel, where were the guys? Hidden away in the upper room where the Last Supper took place, grieving and in fear of the authorities. In fact, in typical guy fashion, I'll own it, when the women go back to tell them about the empty tomb, they don't believe a word they're saying. John and Peter get up, leave the upper room, run to the tomb because they have to see it for themselves. And even after direct witnessing of the resurrected Christ in that upper room on Easter evening, poor Thomas, who we'll talk about next week, known as Doubting Thomas, but the fact be told, his doubts were no different than anybody else's. He just didn't have the opportunity to be in the right place at the right time. Refuses to believe until Jesus appears to him as well. We are human beings, and part of our human condition, even though we have been created in the image of God, and even though, as Genesis told us, we took the opportunity to be like God, that's what the serpent said to Eve, by eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we remain very rational beings. We only believe what our senses tell us to be true, what we can touch, what we can see, what we can hear, and what we can taste, and what we have experienced throughout our lives. And so to hear the words that somebody was crucified on a Friday and was alive and well on a Sunday is truly beyond our ability to comprehend. In being who we are as human beings, we kind of have low expectations. It is only through the religious imagination that we can even begin to comprehend the possibility of the resurrection that we celebrate today. And the only way we come to know that Jesus is truly alive and among us is through the experience of the living Christ. Paul talks about that in today's story, or he references it to his experience of the risen Christ, one whom he persecuted on the road to Damascus. Mary Magdalene only recognizes Christ when he speaks her name in the garden. The disciples only come to believe when he comes to them in the upper room, or they find him waiting for them on the shores of Galilee. As we hear this morning's passage from St. Mark, we are left with an interesting ending. Because Mark doesn't talk about Jesus having appeared to the disciples. In fact, all the women do is they witness the empty tomb and the grave clothes neatly folded off to one side. And an angel who tells them to tell the disciples that Jesus has gone on before them, and they will find him in Galilee, where everything began 3 years earlier. The angels set them up with expectation. And I think the challenge for each and every one of us as we try to figure out where on that spectrum between historian and theologian is, it's a matter of expectation. Where do we expect to experience Jesus? Is it in the tomb? Or is it in our daily life? Do we expect to experience Jesus in a car ride from here to someplace else? To find Christ amidst the shoppers at Belmont's or Shaw's? To find him along the shores here in Narragansett? Do we live with that expectation that we will truly find Jesus even here within these four walls this Easter morning? For as Ignatius taught his followers, to each and every day, to sit down at the end of the day, to reflect and ask this one question: where did you experience God in Christ today? Now, I want you to notice what the question is. It's not, did you experience God in Christ today? It is, where did you experience God in Christ today? The expectation is already written into the sentence, into the question. And so the challenge to us this morning as we celebrate the greatest life world-altering event is, where do you expect to experience God in Christ today? Will you plan to experience him in your waking? Will you encounter Christ in your working, or in your recreation, or in your resting? For as our Gospels have told us through and through, the God that we believe in is a God that is ever present in every aspect of our lives. Only we need to go from historian to theologian by simply expecting that to be true. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to please stand as you are able and to affirm our faith with the words of the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In the joy of the resurrection, we offer our prayers to the Father who raised his Son from the grave, and through that victory offers all of us the hope of eternal life. The world bombards us with stories that instill anxiety and despair. But in the emptiness of one tomb, you have overwhelmed us with the hope of promise. Gracious God, fill us with the joy of Christ's glorious and life-giving resurrection.
Alleluia. Hear our prayer.
Since the surprise of the empty tomb, the news of Christ's resurrection has spread far and wide. This morning we pray for churches that are isolated or persecuted, for churches suffering from stagnation or decline, and churches everywhere that yearn to proclaim your gospel. Loving Father, grant your holy church fresh strength in the good news of Easter.
Alleluia. Hear our prayer.
The first apostles honored the resurrected Christ by sharing all they had with those in need. Merciful God, help us here at St. Peter's by the Sea respond to all who go hungry or lack shelter. Bless the ministry of our community market and make us conduits of your mercy and grace.
Alleluia, hear our prayer.
The resurrection proved once and for all that violence cannot stand against the power of your love. This morning we pray for all those living in the shadow of war and oppression. Grant them trust that you have not caused their suffering, faith that you can pour light into their darkness, and peace that they may experience the life you desire.
Alleluia. Hear our prayer.
In life, Jesus brought comfort and healing to those who suffered from sickness and disease. Pour out your compassion, Lord God, on all those from our community who are ill or infirm, and those who care for them, that they may be strengthened by your constant presence.
Alleluia. Hear our prayer.
The resurrection of Christ offers us hope that death is not the end, neither of Jesus' story or of ours. Enfold all those who have gone before us in death with the mighty power of his resurrection, that they will be raised on the last day.
Alleluia. Hear our prayer.
We lift all these prayers to you, our life-giving God, through the victory of your Son, Jesus Christ, that he live in us and that we would always live in you.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us greet one another with a sign of Christ's love for us. Again, a very warm welcome to everyone, especially if you are visiting St. Peter's this morning, perhaps for the first time, or after quite a while having been gone. We're glad you are here. If you would like to know what is happening here at St. Peter's on a regular basis, there are visitors cards right inside the pockets in the front of your pew. Please take a moment and fill one out. Let us know you are here. And check off if you'd like the eNet, a call from the rector, or whatever. Take that time and then put it in the offering plate along with your offering for this morning. Easter Sunday, along with the whole triduum of services, take a lot of effort and a lot of people to make it happen. And so I have a few thank yous to give out. First and foremost, I would like to thank the Coburn sisters, who go by different names, all three of them under Beverly's leadership, for the beautiful work they've done keeping the church decorated throughout this week and for last night and this morning. Thank you for all your hard work. Also, a thank you to Tony and all of our musicians this morning for making this service and all of our services absolutely glorious. Thank you. Also to all who have read and to all who have helped with ushering and all sorts of jobs around here throughout the week, a big thank you for that, because without all that help, this and all would not be possible. So it is through the volunteer help that makes this church run. So thank you to everyone who has helped out. At this time, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Also with you, lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb and was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he'd given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension. We offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of
Von diesem Gefäß des Vaters. Eternal God, Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
And you have fed us with spiritual food
in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Please stand as you're able and join in singing hymn 207.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.